let me invite you to take a seat. The next thing we usually do is go to a time of intercession, a time of prayer, come to the Lord together again. He tells us to pray in all situations, all circumstances, that we're a people of prayer. So, let's pray. Father, my heart is torn in two different ways on how to pray this morning, so I'll pray in both ways. We want to praise you, knowing that this is the week before Thanksgiving. Father, we are so very grateful for many things. There's a long list of the ways that we could go down and talk about the things we're grateful for. But would you remind us there's nothing more that you've given us, nothing worth more than what you gave, and that is your Son. Father, that we sit in here freed from, through faith, we are freed from the bondage of sin. We are freed from paying for our own sin by whatever means necessary, because we can't. But that your Son went to the cross. He looked at each one of us, saw how we would fall short, and still said, "That's someone I love enough to die for." Father, would you remind us that is what we should be most grateful for. Father, I thank you that what it says in Romans, that you wanted to display your love in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Father, there are many that we want to pray for and continue to, on one hand, pray, on the other, praise. Both. We praise you that Heather is here, that she is feeling well, that you have walked through this season with her, you have strengthened her. But we don't stop there. We pray that you'd continue to strengthen, that you'd continue to restore and heal her. Father, that when she is done with the season, she can proclaim your goodness, looking back at what you did. Father, we pray the same for Steve Pomeroy as he finished his surgery. You saw him through a long procedure, that he now is recovering very well. So we praise you that a serious procedure, a long procedure like that, Father, we see that he is strong on the other end, that he is recovering quickly. But we don't stop there. We pray that you continue to heal him, that whatever antibiotics, anything like that, that he might need, you'd give wisdom and you'd protect him in it. Father, there are those that, Father, we pray for and mourn with. As a member of our family lost their father, we pray that you would, that you'd be with the family, that you'd, Father, your word says that you're near the brokenhearted. And that covers a wide array of things, but it covers those who grieve the loss of a loved one. So, Father, I pray that they can proclaim you through this, that you would use this season to draw people to yourself. Father, that those who are mourning would feel a lightheartedness because they're reminded of who you are. Father, there are others in our congregation that have things going on that we may never know about. So, Father, if I can pray for those who are walking through a season, who have difficult news that they've received, that the season is difficult. Maybe it's a reminder of the loved ones that are not here as they go into a time of holiday season. Father, would you remind them that you are enough, that you never leave them, you never forsake them, you're with them. Lord, as we spend our next time focused on you and what you're doing in your kingdom, would you bless us? Give us your words. Give us insight to our own walk with you. Help us to proclaim your goodness as we watch people respond to faith in you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Well, there's no kids church today. There is nursery if your kid needs a place to go. There is nursery. I'll promise to be much shorter than last Sunday. That way the younger ones aren't going to get too squirmy, but we want to keep the kids in for this time because we think it's a significant thing to watch part of Christ's family be baptized, right? So we want your kids to be here for that. I just wanted to give you that heads up. So you know it, I know it. Today's baptism, And I want to talk about baptism for a number of reasons. First, because there are people being baptized. But secondly, because I want to remind you of all of you who have been baptized and the significance of the faith you proclaim and what it meant for you when you were baptized. I think it's interesting that we didn't plan the Sunday before. We'll do it before Thanksgiving and we'll have baptisms that Sunday. It's the way it landed. But what could we do to celebrate things than to watch those respond in faith by being baptized and say, I'm going to live for Christ? I think that's worthy of celebrating, especially if we want to say thank you, Lord, for what you did in our life. So let's talk about baptism. It's going to look a little bit different today. You're going to hear from a number of people. So let me talk about baptism for a little bit. Baptism goes all the way back to the Old Testament. If you know your scripture, you can go all the way back to the Old Testament. And the way it was talked about in there, it was this idea that it's this symbolic thing of purity and preparation. You'd hear in like Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you'd hear the priests, they'd have to wash beforehand as a sign of preparing themselves for the service of God. You'd see the people wash as, you know, they were unclean. They were told to wash themselves in a way that was restoring purity, this ritual act that God commanded of them. And it continues throughout the Old Testament. These washings were symbolic of God's holiness and a need for a purer, restored heart. It's interesting because much like much of the Old Testament, it was a shadow of things to come. We see God. We see that it was used by God to point over and over and over to what was needed in us. It was this new pure heart. The priests could wash their sinners the next day. The people were unclean. They would fall short again. There was something new that they needed, and it was a heart. It was something that only God was able to offer. And that's where we see this shift in baptism in the New Testament. In Mark 1, we're introduced to Jesus' cousin. Some of you, if you don't know your Bible, your mind's going to be blown. John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin. And he gets his name because it helps describe what he did. What do you think John the Baptist did? That's right. He baptized people. He was known for baptizing people, and it ruffled some feathers. But John's baptism was different than what we had seen before. It was this ritual act before to help purify themselves, a symbolic of purifying yourself. It was symbolic of the holiness that's there. But John the Baptist baptized for the repentance of sin and for preparation for the one who's to come, the Messiah. A baptism that was designed to prepare the people's hearts. In John 1, we're given even more insight. Jesus approaches John the Baptist, and I find this every time I read it, it makes me chuckle. He approaches and John sees him coming off, and he says, as Jesus is walking forward, behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. This is the one I told you about, the one I said I was helping you prepare the way for, that I was preparing the way for. This is him. And he says, I need to be baptized. And he goes, what do you mean? You should be baptizing me. And that's when Jesus responds, says, no. You need to baptize me to fulfill all righteousness. It was this interesting statement that Jesus was making. Was Jesus a sinner that needed to repent? No, it's to fulfill all righteousness. He came to be baptized, not because he was a sinner, but because we are. He wanted to identify himself with the ones he came to save. So he got baptized to both identify with those he came to save, but then also lead by example what you and I should do. While Jesus was on earth, he continued to teach on baptism and what it meant. He has this conversation with Nicodemus in John 3, where Nicodemus says, hey, so I see that you're a godly man because you're doing things that only come from God. So can you give me some insight as to what's going on? Can you explain some things to me? Later in that conversation, Jesus is teaching Nicodemus what it means to be saved. And he says, you cannot be born again unless you're baptized by water and by spirit. And it's this interesting moment that people kind of argue over a little bit. But let me give you some clarity. The water represents the inner transformation, the sign of the new covenant with God. By going under the water, that's not what saves you. It's a product of your salvation. The Spirit is what does the work inside your heart and what we call this regeneration. the fact that you are saved, you are truly born again. In this statement, Jesus makes two things very clear. If you didn't hear it before, we are saved by faith. This is when we're given the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that does the work of conforming us to the image of His Son. We respond to that work by being baptized, a public declaration of who we have faith in, and a representation of needing the new heart. Does that make sense? After Jesus was betrayed, after He was beaten and crucified, and after He was resurrected, we see Him again talking to the disciples at the very last chapter of Matthew 28. It says that when they were, He told them, "Go, I'll meet you in Galilee." And He met them on a hill there, and He taught them something very important. In Matthew 28, you'll see this on the screen. In verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" All authority. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." He tells them this because He wants to remind them of what He's already taught them. The message of the good news isn't just for you. It's for you to share. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, there's two things He tells you that are required of you right there. One, be baptized. Two, go make other disciples. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you don't do those two things. So He tells them, and it's so important, so significant, that He doesn't stop there. He says it again. He's only resurrected for about 40 days, and in those 40 days, He teaches the same thing twice. In Acts 1, He says it again. In Acts 1, He says it again as the early church, Peter, and they go back to Jerusalem. They're with Jesus in those final moments, and He tells them again, "Go to the ends of the earth, all of Judea, Samaria, baptize them, teach them again, make disciples." And then as He rises into the clouds and He ascends to the right hand of God, He had told them one last time, "Wait on the power that's going to be given to you. Wait on the one who's called the Helper." That's when we see moment of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes down on the disciples as they're in the upper room, and it looks like flaming tongues tongues of fire that lay on them, and they start to speak, and what everyone says is gibberish, or speaking in tongues, speaking in a language that was unknown to others. And it always makes me laugh because the people that are watching go, "Those guys must be really drunk, because they're speaking in odd ways." But Peter, being absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit, gives one of the best sermons you will ever read in Acts 2. I want to look at it for a minute, and then we'll move on. In Acts 2, starting in verse 22, this is after he's filled with the Spirit, after they're speaking in tongues, after he's got the people's attention and he starts to teach them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know." He starts out by saying, the one I'm talking about, you saw the miracles, he was given by God, you already know this. "This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." Did you hear what he said? This Jesus did not die because you really did it. It was part of God's plan, but it was by your hands. You killed him by the hands of lawless men. That's how we're supposed to start sermons, by the way. So next Sunday, I'm going to start out by going, "You killed him, and it's Peter's fault." "God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him," pointing back to David's words, "I saw the Lord always before me, for it is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption." Holy One being Jesus. "You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence." He's using words that the people of Israel would know and have memorized, and telling him, this Holy One that you know about, that's Jesus. That's the one that you killed. "Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne. This prophecy that they knew about that would come through David. There's going to come one who reigns on the throne forever. David was a good king, but there's going to come one that's greater than him. This is the one. He's pointing to a prophecy that the people would know. Being therefore a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father of the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. He's pointing to the significance of the moment. The Jesus that you killed, he's the one that was promised. He's the one that you tried to kill but didn't stay in the grave. The tomb is empty, and he promised the Holy Spirit. You're witnessing it. So don't miss the moment. He continues. I want to skip to verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He has said the statement over and over and over. Jesus is not a man. He was God in the flesh. He came, died for you. You crucified him. He was the promised Messiah, and you crucified him. He was the Holy One that wouldn't see corruption. He wouldn't be abandoned to Hades. You crucified him. How do you think they respond? Wasn't me. That was someone else. They're sinners. No. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, through Peter, he pierced the heart of every person there. They responded by saying, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They heard what he said. They didn't, if I can quote a bad movie, they didn't listen, they heard it. They recognized who Jesus was. They recognized their need for a Savior. They hear the gospel proclaimed by Peter through the power of the Holy Spirit, and they respond with, what are we supposed to do? I believe Jesus is who you said. What am I supposed to do about it? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. When they hear the gospel, when they hear what Peter says, they said, we want to respond, but I don't know what to do. How am I supposed to respond to this? He tells them, in as plain a words as it gets, repent, turn from your sin, and be baptized. The baptism, again, is not because you need to be baptized in order to be saved, but because you're saved, you should be baptized. It's the, you'll hear this term in the church, it's the outward expression of an inner transformation. It's the need to respond to what God is doing in your life. Can I just tell you not to sleep on that? If you've never been baptized, what does God want to do in your life, in your faith, by acting outwardly and getting baptized? It's no promise that now you'll be saved because you were baptized. But what, by God's means of grace, what does he want to do in your life by being baptized? That's why I'm excited to celebrate with the five that are being baptized today. Can I also open it up this way? You didn't come to be baptized, but maybe the Lord's talking to you. You think you don't have the right clothes? Can I tell you a little story? Lana Byers. She was like me, got saved when she was roughly 13. When she was 13, I think I was about 13. Oddly enough, we were both going somewhere for basketball and came away with Jesus. She lived her life, and like others, it was like this for a while. And when she was 30, she goes to an Easter Sunday. Yes, Easter Sunday. How do you dress on Easter Sunday? Very nice, right? Well, she responded to the Lord and what he was doing in her life. and she went in her Easter Sunday best and got baptized. God don't care what clothes you're wearing. If you came today, you weren't planning on getting baptized, there's plenty of water here. Respond to that. We'll have a towel or some napkins for you. We'll figure that part out. If the Lord's calling you to get baptized, get baptized. I want you to hear from others that are getting baptized today. I'm going to invite up Christina Finster first. I want her to have an opportunity to share with you why she's responding this way.
I'm going to try to not cry through all this.
That's okay. I was prepared.
Okay. Well, as you guys all know, I'm Christina. And Megan asked me to share today a bit about why I'm being baptized. And actually, for me, in my case, I'm being rebaptized. Please forgive me if I'm emotional. I've been fasting, and I'm probably going to have to read this all from my phone to get it out. But I've known for a little over a year that the Lord was calling me back to this moment, but it wasn't until recently that I realized just how clearly He's been leading me here. I believed in Jesus. I grew up in a church. My parents were on the worship team, and I was even baptized when I was 13. But then, back then, I did it more because I felt like it was the right thing to do and what I was supposed to do, but not because I fully understood what it meant to surrender my life to Christ. As I grew older, I drifted away. I walked away. I questioned God. I doubted His existence. And honestly, I lived a life that reflected this distance. I went through abuse, deep pain, addiction, unhealthy relationships, and seasons where I can't even read it. In seasons where the enemy had a strong hold on me. There were moments I shouldn't have survived, moments when God literally protected my life, even when I wasn't walking with Him. And even then, He never let go. Looking back now, I can see the Lord's fingerprints in every season. And the friend who walked in at the exact moment I was in danger. In the hospital room when my life could have gone a different direction. In the relationships He removed, in the doors He opened, in the daughters He gave me that stirred something awake in me, and really in my mom co-community that has wrapped around me, and so much more. This week, I chose to fast for the Lord to cleanse my soul and prepare me for today. I spent the week in worship, prayer, and writing my testimony when hunger found me. And as it says in Joel chapter 2, Joel chapter 2, 12 through 13, yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Also in Deuteronomy 30, 2 through 3, and return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey His voice in all that I command you today, with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and He will gather you again for all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. So I'm being baptized today because God has brought me out of the darkness and into His light. Because He has protected me long before I knew how to call on Him. Because He kept pursuing me through every season I tried to run. Because He gave me a husband, children, and a community who reflect His love. And because He reminds me in the car, in worship, in scripture, that my story is meant to be shared, not hidden. Today I am choosing obedience. I'm choosing to surrender. I'm choosing to walk forward in the new life He has given me. And as Acts 22:16 says, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on His name.
Amen. Well, I was going to tell you to clap because it's not easy to get up here and share your, just in general, but excellent job, Christina. She said, I don't do well up front. I disagree. So good job, and I'm excited because of what you shared. I'm excited to celebrate with you today. There's one other I want to invite up. You're going to hear from Lana. Most of you don't know Izzy, but can I tell you a quick story? There's a couple of moments, maybe you're like me, there's a couple of moments that are like seared in your brain, like you can remember like you were there. Back in the day when I was a youth pastor, we would, during this time of year, we would go to Warm Beach. And it was the Warm Beach teen retreat. It was a fall retreat that we did with our teens. We had a high school group and a middle school group at two separate times. One of those times we had so many people we needed a bus, so we all rode on it together. That was really fun. So on the way back, I had seen some responses from Izzy in the way she was acting at camp, and I could see there's a softness there, there's a way that she's responding to the gospel, and I know it was particularly because of Lana. But we were sitting on the bus, and I remember turning and seeing Izzy walk down the aisle, and I knew exactly what she was doing. She was going to give her heart to the Lord through Lana. It was a very blessed moment that it's seared in my brain. So you don't know her because she lives in Okanagan, but she said, "You're the coolest pastor I know." And I'm just kidding. She said because she was saved through our ministry, and she has a particularly special relationship with Lana, she wanted to get baptized here. So I'm excited to invite up Lana, and she can share some more. Those of you who are going to change for your baptism, now's a good time to go do that.
There we go. Okay. Hi, everyone. Usually I'm greeting you over there, but now this is like a glorious day. It's like I had no idea this day was going to come, but God did, right? So I'm going to take you back to, it was September of 2018. I was in the Tenasket Middle School gym, and I was coaching volleyball. See, when God took me into the gym 15 years ago, I knew it wasn't about bump, set, spike. He had me there for a different purpose. And that day, this blonde-haired, beautiful blue-eyed little girl stood in front of me, and she goes, "I want to play volleyball." I go, "Okay." I go, "Just have your parents. They need to sign you up." She goes, "Well, I don't have any parents." And at that moment, I knew God had brought her into my life. I said, "We can get you signed up, no problem." And there were days that she would show up at practice, tears just rolling down her eyes. And I started my prayer life for this little girl way back then, and I haven't stopped since. And I knew, as Mac was saying, we had started this Edge youth group, and I knew she needed to get there. So I invited her, and that was the first time she heard about Jesus. And this little girl, when worship music is playing, she's in the front row. I mean, just belting out the words, and it's just warming to my soul. Well, like Mac was saying, there was this camp we were signing kids up for. Izzy wanted to go so, so bad. Oh, my gosh. And the only thing is her foster parents wouldn't sign her up. And I was saying, "Lord, make a way for this little girl to go to this camp. Make a way." And I prayed, and I was praying. Well, I'm sitting at my desk at my office at Byers Market one day, and it's the day before we're going to camp. And she still wasn't signed up. And I was going, "Lord, I know you want her there." Well, I get this phone call, and it's her caseworker. And she goes, "This Izzy, well, she's now in a group home in Yakima." I go, "Yakima?" I go, she goes, "And she keeps telling me she wants to go to this camp. And so that's why I'm calling you." And I go, "Well," I go, "give me 30 minutes. So I get off the phone. I knew I needed to pray. I called a dear sister in Christ, and we prayed and prayed. And I knew I needed to ask my husband. So I go over to my man. He was sitting at his desk. And I go, "Paul, can we take Izzy in?" And it was instantly yes. So I called the lady back, and I go, "Well," I go, "there's one stipulation. The bus leaves in the morning." I go, "If she's coming to live with us, you need to get her to me." So I kid you not, 10 at night, she's at my front door with her bag of belongings in a garbage bag. And I give her this big hug, and I go, "Izzy, God made a way. We're going to camp in the morning. Let's get a shower. Let's get to bed." So we wake up that next morning, give her her first Bible. We're off to camp. that year there was lots of kids, like Max said, and I witnessed God just warming, just softening this little girl's heart. It was no joke, like Max said. God was drawing her. She was worshiping the Lord in Bible time. She was opening the Bible up for the first time. And we get ready to go. So it's Sunday. We're leaving camp. And like Max said, I was just up in the front chilling. We were kind of wore out, right? And here Max says, here comes someone to see you. And I got a picture. It's crazy, but I even have a picture of us. There's that school bus. And it was on that bus that she admitted she was a sinner. She needed a Savior. She believed that died on the cross for her, and that she was forgiven, and that He rose again and He's alive. And it's like that message is for all of us. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that day, it was the start of her relationship with Jesus. And she came home to live with us for about 8 months. And I one of my fondest memories is as I would take her to school, before we got in the car, we would, of course, do our devotionals together. And we would blare that Christian music all the way to the middle school. But before we got there, I'd always turn the music down and we'd pray. And it was the start of her knowing that she needed to grow in this relationship. And she would come right here to this church. Some of you probably already know her. And she would read her Bible, come to youth group. And I always told her, Emmanuel, God is with you wherever you go. Okay, you can count on that, Izzy. And so about 6 weeks ago, I'm almost done here. 6 weeks ago, Izzy goes, Banana. That's what she'd call me, Banana. And she would go, I want to get baptized. I mean, she's a very persistent little girl. She goes, I want to get baptized. And I want you and Mac to dunk me. And I go, I can do that, no problem. So that's why we're here today. I want to ask Izzy to come on up here. She's a beautiful young girl, and she's going to share a little bit with you why she's getting baptized today.
My cards, I'll just leave them all there. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I would like to begin by thanking my family, friends, and church community for being here today. Lana shared a lot. Sorry. My journey to this moment has not been easy. Ending where Lana left off, CBS relocated me to Manson, Washington. While living with Lana, I was meeting my biological siblings for the first time, siblings I didn't even know I had, due to a closed adoption. God brought them back in my life right when I needed them. The power of God restored all the time lost with them, and they answered many questions that I had about where I came from. 2 years later, I was in a traumatic car accident that left me with many injuries, requiring me to go through brain and neck surgery. I remember being told that I only had a 2% chance of walking again, given the severity of my neck injury. However, God had different plans for me, and I've been able to recover with full range of motion, which allows me to work as a Head Start teacher, where I get to touch the lives of young children in our community. The road to recovery was long and painful, but in that chapter of my life, I felt God's presence really strongly. He gave me strength when I had none. He carried me through pain and uncertainty. God blessed me with a support network around me to help me through these hard times. That experience showed me that God is not distant. He is with us even in our hardest moments. More recently, I faced another challenge going through court fighting for my son. It was one of the hardest battles I've faced in my life. God was with me every step of the way, guiding me, giving me courage, and opening doors that I could not open on my own. Today I stand here not only as someone who is healing with the help of God, but as a parent blessed to raise my son with love and faith. through the trials so far in my life, one verse has always stayed with me, and it was actually the verse Lana put on my very first Bible, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. This verse reminds me that God's plan is greater than my struggles. He was with me in my car accident. He was with me in court, and he is with me now. For me, baptism is a symbol of that promise. Just as God brought me through those trials, today I rise from the water with renewed faith, trusting his plan for my life. I want to live with compassion, forgiveness, and hope, and to be a light for others, especially to my son, who inspires me to keep growing in my faith. I thank God for bringing me through the pain, through the battles, and into this new chapter of life. My prayer is to continue to grow in his love and to share that love with everyone that I meet. Thank you all for being a part of this journey with me.
Good job, Izzy. Okay. So I'm going to invite up everyone that's getting baptized. The next part, we always, as a part of the, go ahead and come on up, all five of you. We like to ask them, over here, you can stand next to me. We like to ask them a number of questions that we as people who have relationship with them, talk to them about these questions beforehand. If they don't know the answer to these, we circle back around. But they all know the answer, and it's been part of their discipleship. So while I ask them these questions, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm asking them, I want you to reflect on the answer to these questions and how you would respond to them. We're going to wait. There's a sixth one up here.
Well, this supports us.
Yeah. So, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord?
Yes.
It's a good start. Do you have the assurance that your sins are forgiven through faith in Jesus?
Yes.
Do you renounce Satan and his works?
Yes.
Do you renounce the godliness of this world and all sinful desires? Not being that you will never fall short again, but your goal is to live a life worthy of the call.
Yes. Yes.
Will you live in obedience to Christ? Will you actively participate in the life and ministry of his church, that is, the body?
Yes.
Do you accept the Old and New Testaments as the authority for your life?
Yes.
And will you, by this act of baptism, testify to the world that you are a Christian?
Yes.
Amen. Well, you heard it. I'm going to ask you guys to go ahead and stand down, take some seats down here. Family, you're welcome to come forward as we baptize and take pictures. Just push people out of the way. And the first one being baptized is kind of special for me. He's my twin brother. I don't think everyone gets to say that. So you're going to need someone to hold the phone for you, Mom, because I'm going to ask you to, you weren't prepared, but I'm going to ask you to help. Go ahead and come on in. Oh boy, I got that to the brim, don't I?
Yes, sir.
All right. Go ahead and cross your arms. Plug your nose. Michael, Carol, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to pray and ask a blessing over each one really quickly, too. But I'll do it fast because I know the heat is evaporating. Father, we thank you for the work in Michael's life, your work in his life. I thank you that I get to baptize him. And here's my simple prayer. Continue to do that good work. Father, conform him to the image of your son. Strengthen him for the work you've called him to. Bless him. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, just walk wet. Ryder, another unique one. This is my nephew. go ahead and come on in. And I'm going to invite his dad, Richard, up. He ain't know this, but... Hey, trustees of the church, I'm going to need a fan after this. We need to dry the carpet off. Okay. Go ahead and plug your nose. Writer Vassar, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me pray over him as well. Father, in a very simple way, I want to pray for a writer who is responding to you by getting baptized, responding, saying, I have faith. Now I want to live for you. Father, would you help him as I ask you to do the same in our lives? I pray that you would help him. Father, living for you is not an easy thing, but you promise, as we've heard already, to not abandon us in it, but to be with us in it. So I pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to invite up Alex and Felicia, Carly's parents. If you don't know what I'm doing, we like to invite those who have been significant in the life of the person being baptized. So... go ahead and plug your nose. Carly Clark, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for Carly and how she is saying, I want to live out the faith that I know is real. I want to live out what I know is happening inside. So, Father, I pray that you would go before her, bless her, strengthen her for the walk ahead. Father, would you protect her, be her guide. We pray this in your name. Amen. Christina. I'm going to invite up her husband, PJ. Christina Finster, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for Christina as she was sharing. This isn't the first time, but it is an important moment for her as she says, I am living a life that is different than before. Father, would you strengthen her? Go before her. As I asked already, would you help her, Father, walk in a way that's worthy of the call? Would you help her deny the flesh, deny the way the world wants to tell her she should live, and give her the strength to live for you? As a wife, as a mom, as a daughter of yours. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'm going to invite up Izzy, and again, if you feel like the Lord has responded to you that you should be baptized, don't wait. You can come and get in line. If there's no one in here, that's fine, but I want you to know the invitation is there. And as I've already explained, we're inviting Lynn up, who has been significant in Izzy's life. Boy, I am soaking wet. Izzy Blanton, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me pray for Izzy. Father, I thank you so very much for Izzy, her life, being able to witness these significant moments, this being another big one. Lord, would this be the moment that, not that she would know for certain, but that would be used in her life by you to live a different way, to walk with you in a unique way. Father, I know what you call us to, and I pray that for Izzy. I pray that you'd strengthen her, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, she would live as one, again, worthy of the call, worthy of what you call her to. Father, go before her. Bless her. We pray this in your name. Amen. Mom, you did it. Well, what an overflowing, wonderful time together. Let me invite the worship team up. We want to sing one more song together. Those of you who are changing for baptism, go ahead. We'll worship the Lord a little louder while you're in there. Let me pray one last time. Let me just pray one more time over our time together. Father, again, I want to praise you, proclaim what you're doing in the lives of the people that were just baptized, and a proclamation to what you continue to do in our life. Father, we celebrate. What a joyous time. What Izzy's shirt said, let's crowd heaven. We thank you for the work that you're doing, that we get to witness. We pray this in your name. Amen. Would you stand? We'll sing another song together.